Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
Hello, this is Richard Barter again with you to talk about issues around transport. Now, today we're going to reflect on a conference I attended last week in Wellington. This conference is called TRAFINS, and each year, traffic planners, people involved in road safety, council workers, they come along and listen to speakers on transport. And the focus was safety, and it was particularly around people and ensuring that our roads are safe for people. We had a number of speakers at this conference. It was a great conference. I often go to conferences feeling another conference and fairly minimal expectations, but over the 3 days, this was fantastic. It was down on the waterfront of Wellington. The weather was sunny, and it was a very good time. Interesting, the first person that spoke actually was in New York when he spoke to us, and he spoke by Skype, which I have seen that before in conferences, but this was the first time it seemed to really work well. There were two screens in the room. One was to the left where he spoke, and on to the right there was the screen with his PowerPoint. How's that for a bit of high tech? It's made me really think about, do I need to travel around the country so much with my work, racking up air miles and having to take a day or two for just a few meetings? I think I might do some more Skype too. Now, this person that I spoke about, his name was Paul Steely White, and he's been an advocate in New York for many years, mainly working in the area of how roads might be laid out for people rather than cars. And he had some fairly blunt words to say about road safety. And he was speaking about this concept of zero harm, which is something that's becoming more and more the thing today. And more governments and councils signing up to Vision Zero, and we're going to see changes that come as a result. So Paul Steely White had a few words that he wanted to define before we go any further. And one of them was how we often use the term accident when we refer to incidents with cars crashing into each other's or people being run over. And he felt that the word accident is for people trying to escape responsibility. He suggested that we should use the word crash. The other thing that he commented on was the response we often get from road controlling authorities, from councils and government, that we have to do better. And in his view, we have to do better is not good enough. Zero deaths is the only acceptable target. Another one is blaming human error. And in his view, that's not acceptable. Leaders must take responsibility to stop deaths. So I guess the concept here is that it is not ethical that we should plan to have so many people dying a year. We really should plan to have no people dying each year. And as I've mentioned before, in New Zealand, unfortunately, since 2014, the numbers who have died have been increasing every year. So this concept of Vision Zero that Paul Steely White was talking about is about data, not design. Data must be collected to work out what's going wrong. For example, higher car speed is linked to higher injury and death. Lower car speed is linked to less. And the ability for people to survive being hit by cars increases greatly as the speeds drop down. He was very keen on the idea of humanising road trauma, and they started a program there called Families for Safe Streets. And this is a program to support the families of victims. And in fact, they help them with media training and things that will enable the Vision Zero ideas to be communicated clearly to the general population. It's one thing having a pointy-headed transport planner or a politician looking to be re-elected promoting a position. It's another thing altogether to have a family that's had first-hand knowledge of a loss to tell their story, and this is what they are helping people with in order that those stories may get out there. In New York, cycling has quadrupled over the last 10 years. Overall, the deaths and serious injuries have reduced per capita and in actual numbers. This means that more cyclists means safety in numbers. So they've been targeting elected leaders and doing their best to get people voted in who have a current and a today view of road safety. And they would suggest, just as new standards for water and sewage design stopped waterborne diseases such as cholera, it's the new street design standards that will solve road trauma. So, how's that? That's Paul Steely-White. That's his notes from the day. Now, we're going to listen to a track of music, and we've gone away from, in the past I've tended to have women who have been singing. We've listened to a lot of music from Sarah Vaughan. Now, today we're going to listen to a couple of tracks by Dave Brubeck. And the first one we're going to listen to today is called Jeepers Creepers. And that was Dave Brubeck. And the track we listened to then was Jeepers Creepers. Isn't that just lovely? Well, I've been talking about the recent Traffins conference I attended, and I took notes during the conference, and I'm just going to share a few more of those speakers' high points with you. The next person is David Chick. He's the Chief City Planner for Wellington City Council. He had a couple of quotes which I liked. First was by Winston Churchill. He said this in 1945, "We shape our buildings, and afterwards our buildings shape us." And he kind of turned those words around. We shape our roads, and afterwards our roads shape us. And certainly we can see in many of our cities and towns, they're very much about cars, and that creates an environment which then kind of makes it tricky to get around in any other way. And Albert Einstein once said, "We can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking that created them." And across this conference, we heard a lot of new ideas about, for instance, allocating road space, and about accessibility, about mobility, about the sort of ways that have guided the way we designed our roads and streets and towns, and the fact in some places in New Zealand, the congestion and the scarce space of our roads requires some new thinking. He had a bit to say about how to do things. He said, "Some know what they do, others know how to do things, but truly successful people know why they do things." And he pointed out that they tend to be in the minority, these people. And he questioned the idea of designing places for people that were flexible to changing technologies and flexible to new mobility choices. In a number of cities around Auckland, and we've talked about these briefly, we've got these electric scooters that you just have a look at your phone, click on the app, and then take your scooter away. It's new, it's different. I think everyone is wondering just how we deal with those. The other thing he pointed out was, before we make big changes, we should test the ideas. And this can often be done very simply by the use of a few planter boxes that might portion off a piece of road to be used for perhaps cafe tables, or maybe even as simple as road cones, just placed to see how traffic might respond to a changed environment. Another speaker, her name was Lisa Rossiter. She works for the New Zealand Transport Agency, and she talked about this old type thinking when she said, "We're putting a lot of incompatible road users down narrow pipelines at speeds that are too high. When things go wrong, unnecessarily severe injuries and death result." Wow. There's a lot of talk about death and trauma at these conferences. And forgive me for maybe sounding a little glum, but the next speaker that I want going to talk about, his name is Dave Cliff. And he mentioned that road trauma is the eighth leading cause of death globally. It's predicted that by 2030 it will be the fifth. 50% of those being killed are vulnerable road users. And if one is poor, they are more at risk. So what's interesting that's happening these days is that the people who are in cars tend to be a little better off these days because cars are getting safer. But what's happening is pedestrians and cyclists and people who are not in cars, the proportion of these people who are being killed or seriously injured is going up. Now, he questioned this idea of why aren't we more concerned about this? And he said that our primitive forebears did not fear death itself, but did fear mass death. And so if we're wired the same, we will, for that reason, perhaps not give road safety the importance it's due. We need to approach road safety differently. An economic approach is one way to do this. We know that a cost of someone dying... Now, I saw a figure the other day of $4.9 million in New Zealand. That's gone up a lot. And I know that the cost of a serious injury can be $600,000 or $700,000. So this certainly would seem to be an economical imperative for reducing those costs. It certainly doesn't seem to be a political priority. A government that has to be very brave to put safety on our roads over convenience. Road safety is often seen as a personal responsibility rather than a government responsibility. And because of this, the main road safety agencies lack power over other agencies and government. When that doesn't happen, when road safety is seen as very important in governments, the trauma has dropped. Unfortunately, we lack data. We don't know who, when, why, and where people are being killed on our roads. The costs and benefits are not fully understood or the safe system known. But there are places where this is working well. The Swiss are leading the world with 2.7 road deaths per 1,000 people in the population per year. In New Zealand, our rates are three times this. We're actually not doing particularly well at all. He believes that speed limits, basically on our open roads with no dividers, should be reduced at least by 20 kilometres an hour. This is a very contentious one. He puts it in a different way. He said, to save the life of your child, would you drive at 80 kilometres an hour on an undivided road, rural road? And then he said, would you do this for somebody else's child? Another way of looking at that. Now, some, according to this fellow, some US states have trauma rates worse than some African states. And these have tended to be where speed restrictions are lax. In other words, high speeds are allowed. And often that's the case with politicians bowing down to the pro-speed lobby. One of the reasons why things have worked well in Switzerland is that they have a lot of hidden speed cameras that create a general deterrent. And the other interesting thing is fines are means tested and big enough to be a deterrent. These are supported by public awareness campaign. There was a recent case of a wealthy Swiss man caught for travelling at 290 kilometres per hour. Must have been on a motorway. But his fine was New Zealand dollars, 1.5 million. How's that? Our fines are the same, irrespective of how well off you are. In Switzerland, cyclists are separated. Rural roads where there is no separation are restricted in speed to 60 kilometres per hour. The other thing he pointed out was that 25% of new cars today have a zero-star safety rating. You'll be familiar, some of you will be familiar with the safety rating of cars, the NCAP ratings. They go up to 5 stars. 5 stars are very, very safe. 0 is very unsafe. So there's no safety features in these cars. And these zero-rated cars are typically sold in third-world countries. And in his opinion, this was not a good idea. And I would say I would agree to him. Hey, we're going to listen to another track by Dave Brubeck. And this is on the Interchanges 54 CD. And this track is called A Fine Romance. Hopefully a little bit cheerier than some of the things that I've been talking about. And that was A Fine Romance by Dave Brubeck. Beautiful, beautiful playing there. Now, the last people I'm going to speak about today who spoke at the New Zealand Treffens Conference last week in Wellington were Anne Dowden and Craig Waterworth. And they spoke about substance-impaired driving. Now, they pointed out that it's illegal to be impaired with any substance when driving in New Zealand, and that one in three people killed when driving have a medication or drug in their body at time of death. One in 13 of these people were killed because of it. One in four prescriptions can impair driving. Two out of three people will take something that can impair their driving. 80% of people drink and drive, even though mixing alcohol and drugs increases the risk of traffic crashing by 23 times. Driving with alcohol increases risk 13 times and general medications 2 times. Now, some of the prescription drugs that we're given, like the long-acting benzodiazepines, can last 10 to 16 hours in our system. Zopiclone, which is the common sleeping pill, can last 10 hours. And with folk 60 years and older, even paracetamol can affect driving 3 or 4 hours after they've been taken. Now, the kicker here is that half of people know that it's illegal to drive impaired. Half of people don't know that it's illegal to drive impaired, and that half of the over-the-counter medications can impair their driving. And the problem is that chemists are not telling people what the effects of their drugs are. So it doesn't mean to say that you've got a problem with the drugs you're taking. You will know how you feel. But what I would ask you to do is that if your doctor is changing your medication, I would ask them to give you a full rundown on what it could mean for driving, in particular what it might mean alongside the other medications you might be taking. So there you go. A number of different ideas that came through from the New Zealand Treffens Conference. And I think there's some of the key things that we're going to get used to in the future, lower speeds on our roads, and a big focus on safety over convenience. Now, convenience means being able to use our cars when we want them, where we want them, and park them where we want them. And this might not be so easy in the future. But what we want to do is ensure that people aren't being killed or harmed. Now, I've really enjoyed this time together today. Please feel free to contact me. You can send me a text on 021-277-1213, or you can email me richard@path.net.nz. We look forward to seeing you in a month's time, and safe driving. Bye for now. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.